Good day, family. Today we are doing Agape Lesson 4, and my topic is as a sent one. In other words, how do you or how do I conduct myself as a sent one? The word apostle refers to one who is sent forth with orders. Apostolos is the Greek word for apostle, meaning a delegate, meaning a messenger, meaning one sent forth with orders. Our text is 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 to the end. I'm reading. And behold, the man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, O altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burnt on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the men of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the men of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened, as they sat at table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he set the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing by the corpse, and they went and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled it. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. So it was, after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, when I'm dead, then bury me in the tomb there, where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar at Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but again he made priests from every class of people for the high places. Whoever wished, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing was the sin of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. Amen. Now, the word apostolic refers to a position of being sent. We, the church, are the sent ones. Most of us are not aware we are all in full-time ministry. Wherever God has placed you, your career is your pulpit. We take over from where Jesus left off. Let us learn from the Messiah, the Anointed One, how he conducted himself as a chief apostle. Number one, he clearly understood his assignment. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Number two, he carried the message of the sender. John chapter 9, verses 4 to 5 reads, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Number three, he was connected to the sender. We read in John chapter 8, verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Number four, he came to represent the sender. John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Number five, he was accountable to the sender. John 17, verse 12 reads, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Number six, he strived to finish his assignment. John chapter 4, verse 34 reads, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Number seven, he finally finished his assignment and he finished strong. We read in John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, this text that we read, 1 Kings chapter 13, is an account where God is judging Jeroboam and the 10 tribes, which is the northern kingdom of Israel, generally known as Israel. The nation of Israel, over which David ruled, was now divided into two. The southern kingdom, which was two tribes, known as Judah under Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. And the northern kingdom, which was 10 tribes, known as Israel, under Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, derailed the people of God for fear they would go down to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices in the house of God. We read that in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 27. He made calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. That is 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. He set up one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who are not from the sons of Levi. He ordained a feast on the eighth day of the eighth month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. At Bethel, he installed the priests on the high places which he had made. He made sacrifices on the 15th day of the eighth month, a month he had devised in his own heart. He ordained a feast for Israel and offered sacrifices and incense on the altar. We should always know at the back of our minds that the enemies of God are the enemies of the church. Just like David, He says in Psalm 139, verses 21 to 22, "Do I not hate them who hate, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." Ours is to keep our position as sons of the Almighty God. We are to train ourselves to yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit so he can work in and through us. We, the body of Christ, are the sent ones. You will also notice that in every plan of God, there is always that element that comes to counter what God is doing. The very plan of the coming Messiah was not well received. Herod killed infants in Israel, trying to frustrate the plan of God. We read that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all his districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time he had determined from the wise men." Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, challenging his position as a son of God and attempting to make him abort his assignment. We read in Luke chapter 4, verse 3, "And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus' ministry met with great resistance, just like Paul. We read in Luke chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him." Paul's boldness was his greatest strength. God cannot work with a jellyfish, someone with zero backbone. King Saul feared men more than he feared God. He was a man pleaser, and thus he was rejected by God and lost his throne. Get it loud, child of God, get it loud and clear that you are here to co-work with God. Stay focused and not allow yourself to be distracted. Now let's look at the man of God who came from Judah. He was a sent one. He went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. He cried out against the altar and said, "O altar, O altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child Josiah by name shall be born from the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you." The altar split apart by the word of the Lord. As confirmation, he was sent. Actually, by now, he had finished his assignment. Right. This young prophet did not understand his assignment. He was to cry against the altar. He was instructed not to eat bread, drink water, nor come back the same way. He was not sent to account to the king, as we read in verse 8 and 9. This young prophet was very naive, immature, and careless. The instruction given him was meant for him and not for publicizing. The sons of the old prophet told their father the words which the young prophet had spoken to the king. That was in verse 11. He totally betrayed God's strategy to the enemy, was now joining the enemy against God. He totally misrepresented the sender. Lingering around Jeroboam was not part of his assignment. He had already delivered the accurate word. We read in verse 5, the altar also was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the word of the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. His first mistake was to pray to God to restore the hand of Jeroboam, nullifying God's judgment. When God is in a militant mood and judging a situation, he says, do not pray for these people or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. We read that in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, and in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11. He had an element of seeking glory for himself. The healing of the hand of the king must have excited him. For him to be easily deceived by the old prophet, he lacked discernment and could not discern the lies. The Spirit of God who was guiding him had left. He was now alone. When the Spirit of God left King Saul, the result was demonic manifestations. Disobeying is very expensive, very expensive. May cost you your life. Don't dare take that route. He disobeyed completely and died prematurely without finishing his assignment. He represents many in the church who don't know who they are, nor their assignments. Many in the church are blind and immature. We read in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7, I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. Many are easily carried about with every wind of doctrine, as it is stated in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He entertained what his itching ears wanted to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4 reads, for time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Let's look at the old prophet. The old prophet was not sent by God. There are many in the church today who just go to fulfill their own agendas, and they are not sent by God. It is out of envy that he frustrates the plan of God. He did not choose him. God did not choose him while he was right there in Bethel. He is a false prophet, lying from the back of his teeth. We read in John chapter 8, verse 48. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks lies, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. This old prophet is a hypocrite. Listen to what he says in 1 Kings 13, verses 30 to 32. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." So it was after he had buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines in the high places which are in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. He wanted to ensure that his bones will not be among those which Josiah will burn on the altar. He wants to hide in the tomb with the young prophet. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 3 to 6. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them, he cut down, and the wooden images, and the carved images, and the molded images. He broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed on them. He also burnt the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. Now this was King Josiah. We have come to the end of our lesson. Thank you for listening. Until next time.